to the Holistic Health Show. I'm Dr. Carl O'Helvey, your host. My first guest today is Annette Ticini, RN, known as the Yoga Nurse, who is a former model and Hollywood actress turned nurse and stress management expert. She is the founder of Yoga Nurse Medical Yoga and Stress Relief and is the creator of Yoga Nursing. She is currently producing a DVD documentary on yoga nursing for breast cancer survivors, as well as her light-hearted film series, Couch Potato Yoga. Her programs are endorsed by doctors, nursing organizations, and healthcare providers as a safe adjunct therapy to increase quality of life for the past 16 years. She has been educating people around the world to lead healthier, more spiritual lifestyles. A sought-after speaker and writer, she has been featured extensively in the media, including CBS, NBC, ABC, and Fox News. More information is available at www.yoganurse.com. I welcome you to the Holistic Health Show, Annette, and I look forward to hearing about how yoga is useful to people with diabetes. And I want to add, it's always a pleasure to talk with one of my nursing colleagues, and especially when they're using nursing in a very creative way, as you are. So first, what is yoga nursing?
Yes, what is yoga nursing, Carl? Mm-hmm. Yoga nursing is an accredited new field in healthcare, in nursing, and in yoga. It is the combination of the modern nursing methodology combined with ancient yoga practice. So you put those two parts together and you have a new formula mm-hmm. for healthcare.
Mm-hmm. And what prompted you to create this field?
Oh, well, I like to say that we all have a destiny, mm-hmm. and destiny played a big part in it. I took a training in Ayurveda, it's a sister science of yoga, in the mid-90s with the brilliant Deepak Chopra. Mm-hmm. Have you heard of Deepak
right.
Chopra?
Mm-hmm. Everyone has, haven't
yeah.
they?
Well, surprisingly, when I ask that question, a lot of people give me the deer in the headlights
oh.
look. But I'm
oh.
sure you have definitely mm-hmm. heard of Deepak.
Mm-hmm.
In any case, I was teaching yoga at the time. And I came across Deepak Chopra at a yoga center, was totally inspired by him, wanted to study with him, and it turned out that he ended up offering trainings, Carl.
Mm-hmm.
I signed up for one of the trainings, and most of the people that were taking the trainings were doctors and nurses.
Mm-hmm.
I had no medical training at that time, although I was very adept at teaching yoga and was making my living at that time.
Mm-hmm.
I was so inspired by Deepak and the training that I thought to myself, oh my goodness, if I could become a nurse and combine nursing with yoga, I would be able to reach so many more people
mm-hmm.
and have a foundation of medical knowledge combined with the ancient science of yoga that would be able to really affect and change people's lives. And mm-hmm. I specifically wanted to help nurses. So that's what I'm doing today. I'm training other nurses to become yoga nurses
mm-hmm.
and apply my yoga nursing methods in their patient care and, of course, on themselves to create a better quality of life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Great. Then, Annette, how does therapeutic yoga help people with diabetes?
Mm. Well, that's the topic of the day.
Right.
Perhaps the best place to start, if I may suggest, is just to give a really quick layman's overview of what diabetes is
mm-hmm.
and then move forward. Would that be okay?
That'd be fine. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, you know, in a very basic way, diabetes is a disorder that affects the way that the body is using food for energy. So normally, the sugar that we take in is digested And then it's broken down into what we call a simple sugar known as glucose. The next part of the equation then is that the glucose moves into your bloodstream where it's waiting to go into your cells to be used as fuel. It goes to your brain, it goes to your heart, it goes to all of the systems in the body. Then we have insulin. And insulin is a hormone that's produced by the pancreas. And insulin moves the glucose into your cells, to your brain, etc. So a healthy pancreas adjusts and monitors and balances the amount of insulin that is based on the amount of glucose or sugar in your blood. But in the case of diabetes, there's a total breakdown. And the blood sugar levels become too high. And then we have type 1, type 2 diabetes. And over time, these high glucose levels, they can cause serious and deadly complications.
Mm-hmm.
The good news is that my practice, my research, my working with over 4,000 clients, many, many diabetics, is that yoga therapy, properly applied, can give tremendous benefits to clients that have diabetes.
Mm-hmm. Great. Then, Annette, how can yoga nursing help to alleviate workplace stress?
Well, in the workplace today, stress actually is now considered the number one form of anxiety, according to the American Psychological Association. And with our environment, with our political issues, with our financial issues and job losses, people are really suffering from stress. And it's causing American businesses billions of dollars. So yoga nursing, because my field is called yoga nursing, helps to decrease the work-related stress by improving people's morale. So if people's morale and mood is improved, then their productivity increases, they're happy about their work, they're not calling out sick regularly, there's less employee turnover, and very important, it's a much safer working environment. It decreases workplace injuries. Those are just a few of the ways that yoga helps to alleviate workplace stress.
Mm-hmm. Now, Annette, you were very involved in a career in Hollywood. And why would you give up that career to go into yoga nursing?
Yes, people are always interested in my Hollywood background, Carl.
Mm-hmm. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
I was a successful model and an actress. I worked with Johnny Carson in the day as one of the Mighty Carson art players.
Mm-hmm.
I did a lot of television commercials, and I spent many, many years of my life in that career.
Mm-hmm.
And as I suggested earlier, I really believe in destiny. And it came to a time in my career that I really felt that it was time for me to leave the business before the business would leave me.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a very fulfilling career. And I'd always been interested in yoga, and I had some personal crises in my life. I had a child who was autistic, profoundly autistic. He's still profoundly autistic.
Mm-hmm.
And I crashed. I really went into a terrible depression. I was no longer interested in modeling or acting. I had become a mother. It was time to move on. And I really needed to help myself to get up in the morning and take care of this child. And that's when I got back into yoga.
Mm-hmm.
And the rest is history, because then I went into studying with Dr. Deepak Chopra, who inspired me to become a nurse.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the way that I dug myself out of my depression and was able to make a change in my life and to make a difference in other people's lives.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, all of the background in Hollywood was an excellent preparation for me for what I call my final role as the yoga nurse.
Mm-hmm. Now, Annette, does age make a difference in people that have diabetes as far as using yoga?
Not at all. Not in my experience.
Mm-hmm.
Many of my clients locally in the community, and I've been invited many times to teach at the local hospital for the diabetic groups,
mm-hmm.
Carl.
Mm-hmm.
And many of the people that are in the groups are in their 20s and 30s.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have clients that are in their 60s and 70s.
Mm-hmm.
So the benefits of yoga cover all age ranges. And there are really three key elements to yoga providing benefits for
mm-hmm.
clients.
Mm-hmm.
The most important part for me, Carl, is that a client can say, I can do this. You know,
mm-hmm.
many diabetic patients that I have are overweight or even obese.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them are morbidly obese.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea of doing strict exercise is daunting for them. It's overwhelming for them.
Mm-hmm.
The great news about yoga, and particularly the way that I've designed my program, which is very gentle, it's possible for these clients, no matter where they're coming from, no matter what their age, to have success.
Mm-hmm.
The three components
mm-hmm.
are proper ancient yogic breathing techniques. So
mm-hmm.
proper breathing.
Mm-hmm.
Second is gentle stretching, or we call it postures in yoga.
Mm-hmm.
And third is relaxation and meditation.
Mm-hmm.
So what I'm asking the client, I'm asking the diabetic client, can you breathe? Can you stretch? Can you relax?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody can learn the deep breathing. Everybody can learn the gentle stretching. And everybody can learn how to relax.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm very uplifted because my clients are constantly coming to me and saying, Annette, finally, I found something that I can do.
Mm-hmm.
So even a very overweight or obese client can learn my methods because I start them off very gently. And then the number one law in yoga is do no harm, just like in medicine. So safety first, Carl.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that's great that they can feel that they have accomplished something and had success, because I think that's very important with anyone, but it's especially important in diabetes.
Yes.
And the other thing, I'm sure then that you're not asking them to do headstands, which I never mastered. I took yoga when I was much younger, and I got so I could do the shoulder stand, but I was afraid to try the headstand because it was the same as when I went to the chiropractor the first time, and I was afraid when he worked on my head and he jerked it that he was going to pull my head off.
Yes, yes.
And I just don't like that experience, so I never got so I could do a headstand, but I did do the shoulder stands.
Very good. Shoulder stand is excellent, and as some of my yoga colleagues like to say, yoga isn't about learning how to stand on your head.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's about learning how to stand on your own two feet.
Oh, good, good.
So no, I don't teach any of those pretzel postures or mm-hmm. extravagant postures. Again, many of the postures that I start my diabetic clients with are seated postures, especially if they're overweight.
Mm-hmm.
So we start them off in a chair.
Mm-hmm.
I can even teach them how to do the postures, many of them lying down in bed, especially, you know, if they're experiencing more complications.
Mm-hmm.
You know, diabetes is a very, very serious disease.
Mm-hmm.
And I really very urgently suggesting that people get educated about the debilitating process
mm-hmm.
that ensues. And I feel that, you know, the number one benefit of yoga for diabetics is reducing the stress levels.
Mm-hmm.
Because if we're stressed out that we have diabetes, we're stressed out that we're overweight, your blood pressure increases, and that's increasing your cortisol levels, which is the stress hormone.
Mm-hmm.
The other ones that maybe people have heard of more commonly are adrenaline, and that is poisonous to the central nervous system mm-hmm. and to the efficient release of glucose and balancing glucose with insulin. So yoga, in plain language, decreases stress markedly. And there are many evidence-based studies now. Dr. Herbert Benson,
mm-hmm.
Harvard Medical School, long time ago discovered that the deep relaxation methods, especially that come from the deep breathing to start, that's the starting point in yoga,
mm-hmm.
deep breathing, reduce stress significantly, and that in turn reduces too much glucose, blood sugar, and helps to balance the insulin.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I was going to ask you also, Annette, how do you get your patients? Are they referred from diabetic practitioners or by word of mouth or?
Both.
Oh.
Both.
Oh, do you?
Because I am in the medical system, so
right.
people know me and
mm-hmm.
are. More and more people are knowing me through the power of the internet and my website internationally, and I get inquiries from all over the world, and
mm-hmm.
I'm invited to be a guest speaker in different organizations, healthcare organizations, and
mm-hmm.
many nursing organizations to help to educate people about the benefits of yoga, not only for diabetes, but for all disease processes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you have made a name for yourself with the yoga and the nursing together, right? Are you covered by insurance plans?
Yes. As a yoga practitioner, there are insurance plans for yoga practitioners
mm-hmm.
that do cover, yes.
Great, good.
Liabilities, et cetera. Although, the good news
mm-hmm.
is there's never been a yoga teacher that's been sued.
Oh. No, I meant where patients, can they get reimbursed through their insurance?
Not yet.
No, they can't.
We're not that far along, but
oh.
I anticipate a day
mm-hmm.
that will occur. There are a few states that give reimbursement for yoga therapy,
mm-hmm.
but very few at this time. But if there's a few, that's the beginning.
Right.
Well, yoga is very cost-effective.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everyone can afford yoga.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the good news. And there are many healthcare organizations or even hospitals that sponsor yoga classes or yoga education for the community. So
mm-hmm.
it's actually the hospital that pays me and provides the service for free to the clients.
Mm-hmm.
Now, not all
mm-hmm.
hospitals are
mm-hmm.
doing that. That being the case, the consumer can go and investigate taking a yoga class.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to give some tips to your listeners
mm-hmm.
about the process,
mm-hmm. Good.
If I may. And mm-hmm. number one is to find a competent yoga teacher.
Mm-hmm.
And you should be interviewing a yoga teacher just like you interview a doctor, and make sure that they're comfortable and have some medical knowledge. The majority of yoga teachers are not nurses. That's why I'm educating nurses to become efficient and integrate the two. But there are many, many yoga teachers that are brilliant who are not nurses. So I do not want to discourage people from taking yoga from practitioners who are not nurses. Just do your homework, number
mm-hmm.
one. That's
mm-hmm.
extremely important. I also find, you know, I have a particular client that's coming to mind named Sue. She's about 67 years old. She's referred to as a brittle diabetic, which means that her blood sugars really are wacky, and she has to pay very, very close attention to monitoring her blood sugar levels. And the yoga practice, because I am a nurse, I recognized after several classes with this client that she was sweating, she was confused, and, you know, I immediately started assessing her for hypoglycemia, which
mm-hmm.
means low blood sugar, because yoga helps to decrease the blood sugar level.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very important that a diabetic that's taking yoga eat something before their yoga class and after the yoga class, like peanut butter on whole grain bread, which takes a long time to move through the system.
Mm-hmm.
It's a low glycemic content, and it takes time. So that's important. The client wants to begin with simple exercises. They want to start with an absolute beginner's or a restorative yoga kind of class. monitor the glucose levels throughout the program because yoga will impact the levels. It's important in order to have results to practice a couple of times a day and gently does it.
Mm-hmm.
Focusing on the breath is the most important place to start. Just if the clients take away today to learn how to do deep breathing practices, I teach that. You know, I have a product that I've been working with for many years that helps people to understand the basic breathing concept and understand how to apply the gentle techniques. And the most important part that gets people hooked on yoga is the delicious relaxation.
Mm-hmm.
So it, again, is the simple combination of the big three: deep breathing, gentle stretching, and deep relaxation and meditation that will give the client the benefits, not only for diabetes, but in their whole outlook and quality of life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, would you tell us then about your services and the DVD that you're working on and how listeners can reach you?
Yes, I'd be happy to. Well, I have this product called How to Grow Younger with the Yoga Nurse, Emergency Stress Relief. I have it available as a download, and I have it available as a CD that I send to my clients. And I've been selling it for 15 years. It's had many positive reviews. I'm always selling out of it and having to reproduce it. And it's very affordable. It's $16 for the CD and $10 for the download.
Mm-hmm.
I have lots of testimonials, including from doctors, real people with real pictures, with real places to connect and verify. And it's real simple for people to reach me. People can find me at yoganurse.com. I'm the Yoga Nurse. Go to yoganurse.com. And there's a shopping button to press, and that will take you to the CD, and people can listen and preview all of the parts that are on the CD. So, yoganurse.com.
And aren't you also doing a DVD?
Yes. Yes, I am. That's a work in progress, and that's on another area that I specialize in, Carl,
mm-hmm.
working with breast cancer survivors.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm producing the first DVD for breast cancer survivors that integrates the process that I use and have been using with breast cancer survivors, again, for 15 years. And it is a duplicatable system. It's a beautiful CD that actually anyone could do. It would be suitable for diabetics or anyone, really, but my focus is on breast cancer clients who are in recovery. It's endorsed by medical doctors, and I am hoping to launch it in October of this year, 2011, for
mm-hmm.
Breast Cancer Month.
Mm-hmm. I have you in my folder for cancer when I go back and revisit cancer, because I thought this would be a good topic to cover in that series again. I have a book that I'm finishing on alternative treatments for lung cancer. And then prior to that coming out, I'll do another long series on cancer. So I put you in my folder to get in touch with you again at that time.
I'm in your folder, am I?
Yeah, my cancer folder, right, yeah. I keep folders and I throw things in that I think will be useful when I go back and talk about some of the things that I've already, I mean, the series that I've already covered. I like to do revisits to some of them.
I'd be very happy to contribute, if you're open to that, information on using specifically diaphragmatic ancient breathing techniques from yoga as an adjunct therapy for lung cancer.
Mm-hmm. Great. I think that it's very important that there is something on yoga for breast cancer patients, because there's been so much in the news recently that contradicted the earlier thoughts that the people that had had surgery should not do exercise, and now they're finding that that's not true, that there should be
exercise. Exactly.
And so I think it's really great because yoga, as you say, would be a milder form of exercise. So I think that's really great that you're doing this.
Yes. And really exciting is one of the top breast cancer specialists in the world has endorsed my CD.
Mm-hmm.
Very interesting story. And her name is Dr. Carolyn Sartor. She started a nonprofit called New Life After Cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And surprisingly, this brilliant doctor who taught other doctors has now become a breast cancer survivor herself.
Oh.
So her whole focus and motivation now is to enlighten breast cancer survivors. And one of the ways that she incorporates treatment is with yoga therapy.
Mm-hmm.
So we're working together.
Great.
And she's part of my DVD to inspire people.
Mm-hmm. Great. Good. Well, then, Annette, is there anything else you would like to say before we close?
Well, I'd like to say that if people have been curious about yoga, yoga's been around for 5,000 years, so maybe it's about time. I'd say, what took you so long? Find a competent yoga therapist. Come to my website. I can provide you with a simple tool to help you to get started, and that yoga can change people's lives.
And give us the website again, please.
The website is yoganurse.com.
Great. Well, thank you very much, Annette. This has been very interesting, and I look forward to talking with you again when I get back to the cancer series.
Very good, Carl. Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure.
And mine too. I invite you to join me in reading the new fall issue of A Distinctive Style magazine at www.adistinctivestyle.com. This issue, like the fall issue last year, focuses on inspirational cancer stories. Several children with leukemia were included, and one I especially liked was Christopher, age 9, who was described by his friends as the type of friend everyone would want: smart, loyal, brave, funny, and always a good sport. He was diagnosed with leukemia at age 3 and had a recurrence at age 8. Unfortunately, Christopher died. It is always a pleasure for me to read about Fran Dressler and Sharon Winters, who were also included in last year's fall issue. Fran has been cancer-free for 11 years and wrote Cancer Smancer about her survival. She also started the Cancer Smancer Movement and Foundation that emphasizes preventing cancer. Sharon Winters, another long-term cancer survivor, talked about the influence of the environment on cancer development and how to prevent it using information from her book, co-authored with Burton Goldberg, titled Survival, A Family Guide for Thriving in a Toxic World. For me, this book was the most comprehensive guide currently available. I was also interviewed for this issue, and you will find more about my story that is being published in a book on surviving lung cancer that will be available for purchase next year. Beyond the many interesting stories of cancer survivors and sufferers, I was interested in information on Farmageddon, about the war on American family farms, and another on local food movements, both which resonated with me. Also of interest was the interview with Peter Shankman, who is the founder of Harrow, Help a Reporter Out, the world's largest free source repertory. If you are looking for speakers, guests, for radio shows, conference, or whatever, or if interested in being considered as a speaker guest, this is the place to be. I have used the service and am very pleased with the results obtained. And last, a mention of the music of 2-time Grammy Award winner Jimmy Warnes. You'll not want to miss these and other stories in the fall issue of A Distinctive Style magazine, available at www.adistinctivestyle.com. My second guest is Joan Grob Agostino, who developed type 2 diabetes about 3 years ago, and will discuss the natural way she used to deal with it. Joan is a work and personality specialist, keynote speaker, and master trainer in personality. She wrote 5 Secrets to Success Strategies that was published in a book with Ken Blanchard, Steve Covey, and Brian Tracy, titled Discover Your Inner Strength in 2007. Her materials have been used by people on 4 continents. She was the former chapter president of the Canadian Association of Professional Speakers, career specialist, and one of only 8 master trainers worldwide in personality dimensions. More information is available at www.coreperformancegroup.com. I welcome you to the Holistic Health Show, Joan, and I look forward to hearing how you dealt with type 2 diabetes.
Well, thank you so much, Carl. Delighted to be here.
Thank you, Joan. Now, first, how were you diagnosed?
Well, I wasn't feeling good, and I was having lack of sleep. I had noticed weight gain and a lot of need to go to the washroom quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
I also noticed that I was getting edgy, that I was kind of, I'm typically a person with a lot of energy and very, very optimistic, and I was, things were bothering me that normally didn't bother me. So I went to my doctor, and I thought I was tired, sleeplessness, that kind of thing. And his first reaction was, oh, well, you know, do you want sleeping pills? Well, I don't believe in that.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, no, you know what? We haven't had blood tests for a long time, so let's do that. And he gave me a fasting blood sugar. And that's when they realized that my blood sugar levels were all off balance.
Mm-hmm.
In that particular case, they were high for,
mm-hmm.
you know, above normal.
Mm-hmm. And what was your reaction to the diagnosis?
I was in disbelief and a little bit, and as funny as it sounds, a little bit embarrassed, because it's like, what did I do?
Mm-hmm.
It's type 2, so I must be, you know, doing something wrong. And I wasn't like 100 pounds overweight, but I was at
mm-hmm.
least 10 pounds, 15
mm-hmm.
pounds overweight. But that didn't qualify me as obese in my head. And so I was thinking, oh, I was embarrassed and I felt guilty. What did I do wrong? And I kind of wanted to hide it at first.
Mm-hmm.
And that was my initial reaction. Luckily, that reaction didn't last more than a few days. And
mm-hmm.
boy, then I wanted to attack this thing.
Mm-hmm. And how did the diagnosis affect your life and your work?
Actually, I think I'm a better person because of it today. And let me tell you why. What it did is it empowered me to do something immediately, because when someone is telling you, a doctor, medical professional, oh gosh, we're going to have to do this and this and give you these medications, and I'm going to have to show you how to use an insulin needle, and I'm sitting there thinking, no, that's just not for
mm-hmm.
me. I have power here to do something. So I said to him, I'll see you in 6 months. Can you give me 6 months? And he, with the blood test, I wasn't horribly at risk. And he knew me as a very determined person who had nursed my kids through illnesses without a lot of medication.
Mm-hmm.
So he gave me that 6-month leeway. I think it affected my work, because I stopped worrying about work and started to focus on myself a bit more,
mm-hmm.
which, funny enough, was one of the messages that I spoke about in my work. But I think I had lost myself in it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd taken care of so many other people. I was taking care of an Alzheimer's mother and a father-in-law who was at that time dying, and it took him several months to die. And I'd taken myself off the schedule. So how did it affect my life is that it put me back on the list. And
mm-hmm.
I think that that's really important. The other thing is that I've discovered some really, really great foods, a better way to approach things. And I'm enjoying food a whole lot more. It
mm-hmm.
doesn't control me. Now I eat to live and I don't live to eat, that
mm-hmm.
old saying.
Mm-hmm.
And what I do eat is really flavorful and good, and I just enjoy the whole process more.
Mm-hmm. And what changes then, Joan, did you make immediately since you were on your own?
immediately I started looking at glycemic load and how much carbohydrate I was ingesting that wasn't necessary in my life. And I started to increase protein intake. So what that means is, for example, breakfast often, if I was on the run, you know, a cup of coffee and a bagel. Oh, I put cream cheese on it thinking that, which was like, I guess, a small amount of protein. Now I keep boiled eggs in the fridge, or I boil an egg, and that's a protein, and it's excellent for glycemic sugar levels. But it also is as a natural thing. I buy, you know, organic high omega-3 eggs, so I'm doing some really good work with those fatty acids. But I'm also not as hungry because I'm increasing my protein intake every time I eat. I have protein. And if you think of a lot of dinners, like I live in an area that and my last name is Agostino, Carl, so there's a lot of pasta in my life,
right?
So a dinner could be, listen to this, pasta with spaghetti sauce with fresh Italian white bread, and then you'd make a pie for dessert. I mean, like, it was just total carbohydrates, which is immediately metabolized to sugar. But that's how we were raised. So now you can do things, small things. So we make huge salads to go with those meals, like, and salads full of balsamic vinegar and pure olive oil, because the balsamic vinegar, that high acid, when you're eating any kind of a carb, helps lower the glucose count. So you have this delicious salad that we're almost addicted to now. It's so good tasting. And then you have your a complex carbohydrate. So, for example, I've replaced a lot of my rice usage with pearl barley. I've replaced spaghetti with whole grain spaghetti that has actually, you know, a higher grain content. And nobody knows the difference. I'm still making my homemade sauce on top of it. Nobody notices the difference. We're all just feeling a lot better. And here's the other thing, making small changes like that, over the last 2 years, I've lost over 15 pounds. And it was all, I didn't diet the way people diet, depriving oneself. I just bought better food and less of it, and I ate more times a day. When I got hungry, I ate almonds, or I ate something to, so that I didn't feel that need to binge. Or, I kept boiled eggs in the fridge so I could pop a boiled egg in my mouth. And I didn't deprive myself of everything. Instead of eating 20 pretzels, I still allow myself four or five pretzels and get that jolt in. And the other thing is when I ate, Carl, because I'm eating my big meal more at noon hour, 1 o'clock, and eating less at night so that I can do things in the afternoon or evening, like go for those long walks, or I'm a mean gardener or a mean vacuumer when I want to be, and I take stairs instead of elevators. So I guess how it changed my life is I've really seen the world in a different way, is an opportunity to interact with it rather than to just get through it. I'm interacting with the world a lot more.
Well, what you were eating was the typical Italian diet, because all my life I've liked Italian food. But as you say, it's heavy carb.
Well, let me give you a tip. When you go to an Italian restaurant, you can order a double salad. Order a double salad, tell them to put the oil and vinegar on the side so you can season it yourself. And I eat a double salad before I eat the pasta. And I literally say to them, could you give me half pasta? And even if they say, oh, well, it's still going to cost the same, I say, that's okay. Just put an extra ladle of sauce on it because tomato sauce is good for you. And I'll say, that's fine. I don't care. I'll pay the same price if you just make it. Just give me half pasta, no more than a cup, and give me double sauce instead. And I've never had an Italian restaurant refuse, and I just don't eat the white bread there anymore.
Well, I found this also when I was in Spain, that there was limited amounts of fruit and vegetables.
Yes.
Now, Germany was better, and there were fruit and vegetable stands all over. So in Germany, you can pick up your own fruit and vegetables and eat them as you're going along.
You know what? When I was in Europe, we went to France and Italy, and the same thing, vegetables are expensive there. We are so fortunate in the areas that we're from because there's ample vegetables and fruits, and they're relatively inexpensive. But when we were in Europe, we did notice that they were very expensive. But what I do is when I travel, I pack dried fruit. And I bring it with me because even though it has a higher sugar content per piece, I'm still eating an apricot. I'll just eat one of them. You don't eat them like candy. But at least I'm getting some fruits and vegetables. mm-hmm. when I'm traveling. And dried peas now are like a candy, you know, like they can come with you as long as you get them so that they don't have a lot of salt on them.
Mm-hmm.
But so I'll travel with dried fruits
mm-hmm.
now if I can't get it. And most restaurants will have lettuce. It won't always be. Sometimes they have iceberg, you know. I look for romaine or
right.
endive or something that has some nutritional value. But even if I get iceberg, it's better than me eating a huge plate of something. That's what I'm saying. I'm interacting with the world more. And
mm-hmm.
I actually go places now to grocery stores and I'll say, gee, do you have this? And this is why I'm a diabetic and I'm looking for this. And grocery stores are starting to stock things for me, which I really appreciate. And they're flying off the shelves because I'm not the only one. There's millions of people
mm-hmm.
who've been diagnosed with type 2 diabetes out there. And we should speak up. We should start to say, look, we got here because we weren't necessarily as attentive to our diet and to our exercise. And there's a whole lot of other reasons. It's not just us. It's part of your biology, and I understand that, and environmental triggers and emotional triggers and stress triggers. But part of it, too, is we have to take accountability for what goes in our mouth.
Right.
And I'm really very happy I did, because it's affecting everyone around me, our children and certainly my husband, and we feel more energetic.
Mm-hmm.
That's a really great side benefit.
Right. Well, I think also as you eliminate certain things in your diet, other things start tasting a lot better. For example, I eliminated sugar
yes.
about 2 years ago,
mm-hmm.
and I've had no simple carbohydrate, no pie, mm-hmm. cake, candy, ice cream, none of the good things that I used to think. But I've
mm-hmm.
noticed now that fruit tastes so good. And sometimes, like, I take prunes in the morning, but the prunes taste so sweet now.
And watermelon, cold watermelon,
mm-hmm.
Or melons of any kind are absolutely outstanding. My husband and I, often if we have a big meal at noon, for supper we'll have smoked salmon.
Mm-hmm.
And with cheese and grapes. And instead of using crackers, just a little tip, I use thin slices of apple or pear
mm-hmm.
instead of a cracker to serve with the cheese.
Mm-hmm.
And our friends are loving it. Like, they love that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just so easy. And, you know, you have to do it right away because you don't want them going brown to serve. But, you know, I just, yeah, you're right. Things taste better. And I've reduced salt intake, too.
Mm-hmm.
I don't, you know, we don't even use salt and pepper on the table anymore.
Right, right.
I haven't for years.
No, I haven't either, no.
Yeah, and just a little an aside, if you're taking 2 teaspoons of sugar in your coffee and you're having like 3 or 4 cups of coffee a day, which I know a lot of people who do, if you just take the sugar out of your coffee, you could lose between 5 and 10 pounds a year.
Right. I found that if people want something sweet, the best, I've been told by nutritionists, the best sugar substitute is stevia, since it is an herb and it's natural, it's not a chemical.
And it's very sweet.
And so I do use stevia on my
yeah,
cereal.
We have stevia. We keep it for people who like it for their coffee and tea
mm-hmm.
now.
Mm-hmm.
But I find I don't even need it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't have anything sugar in my coffee or tea or on my oatmeal. I put cinnamon and fresh fruit. I
mm-hmm.
use a lot of cinnamon. Another tip for type 2 diabetes is cinnamon. Up to a teaspoon or 2 teaspoons a day. No need to go over that because you don't want to overdose
right.
on cinnamon.
Right.
But, you know, I use cinnamon. Again, it helps you with your glycemic load. And oatmeal is a great.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's what we have for breakfast
mm-hmm.
almost every day.
And I do, too.
Love it to death.
Mm-hmm.
I even go on cruises and eat oatmeal, and it's a wonderful, wonderful thing, and it tastes so good. To us, we really kind of crave it now, but the tip, of course, there is I use cinnamon even in coffee sometimes to flavor it, and it gives it a lovely, spicy flavor in the winter especially, and it just is so good if you're having, you know, anything else to eat again.
Mm-hmm.
And again, lemon, fresh lemon on everything, too, lowers that glycemic load anytime you can add an acid
mm-hmm.
when you're ingesting carbohydrates. So that's why I ask for the extra ladle of tomato sauce, which is acid, on the carb.
Mm-hmm.
Like, reduce the carb amount and get that extra ladle of tomato sauce because you're adding acidic.
Mm-hmm.
And anytime you do that, it helps with your sugar level.
Mm-hmm.
So small little changes that have really, like you said, things taste better. And 5 colors a day, you've heard of that, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
the five colors of fruit and vegetables a day. So we're really into colorful, glorious-looking meals, too. You know, when you see a plate full of white, you've got a problem.
Right.
So that's how it's changed, and we kind of really look forward to our meals now. We're not just quickly rushing through them. They've become a socialization time. They've become a time where we really are thinking about what we're eating and doing, not just shoving it in, which I think I'm as guilty as everyone else has in the hectic life of raising children and running a company and just trying to be a career woman and wife and daughter and caretaker and rushing. And,
right.
And I think I got lost. And it doesn't, if you get two or three heads of romaine lettuce and chop it up and put it in a plastic bag, you know, I do with a little bit of water, it'll stay nice for a couple of days. You can have two or three salads out of that. So I tend to do bulk chopping to make my life easier and make it readily available. So there's always celery and chopped up in the fridge. And contrary to popular belief, carrots are still good. You'd have to eat 8 or 9 medium or large size carrots to get 50 grams of sugar, which is nobody sits and eats that much. But you can still have a carrot, you know, carrots and, you know, that kind of thing as well. So they're always chopped up waiting in my fridge. So if I get snacky, I feel that edge that there's things readily available so I don't reach for something that is readily available and not good for me. I just don't buy chips and all that stuff anymore.
Right. Now, I tend to stay off the high-carb vegetables, the carrots, the peas, the corn, the potatoes, and the pasta that you mentioned earlier. Every once in a while, I have to have a little pasta.
Yeah.
But those things I tend to stay off. Now, I'm not diabetic. I was in the past, but I don't have any problem now. But just for weight and for feeling good,
right,
I tend to reduce those or eliminate them.
Before I would sit and eat a bag of carrots. Now you have two or three. You get your craving done. And then you're happy. And for dips, I use hummus, which is, as everyone knows, chickpeas. And chickpeas is a great protein, by the way, to throw in salads so that your salad has staying power. So we'll often have super salads for supper with protein, you know, in it, like cheese, or grill a chicken breast. And of course, skin is removed and all of that. But grill a chicken breast. And when we do grill chicken breast, we grill 3 or 4 at a time. So there's always sliced or chopped chicken in our fridge to throw on a salad so that it becomes a meal. You know, it doesn't work if you're hungry all the time. So adding protein to every time you eat really helps. So instead of cream cheese on that multigrain bagel, maybe, you know, which doesn't have as much nutritive value as peanut butter and organic, you know, no salt. I know no sugar, kind of just peanut butter, or an almond spread, you know, pure almonds. That will give you the flavor, but it's also adding a lot of protein without shooting your glucose levels through the roof. You just want to keep them low and steady all day long. So eat many times, choose your foods, and have snack foods available in the fridge so that you know, oh, gosh, if I get hungry, there's a boiled egg or there's, you know, celery fruits. And when I buy a watermelon, I actually chop it up into cubes and stick it in the fridge. Oh, my gosh, it's good.
Well, my sister takes cantaloupe and chops it up and mixes it with grapes. And
love
she
it.
Always has that in the refrigerator. And, I mean, in the summer months.
Do you want to know one of my favorite desserts? Is we call them a parfait. People don't know that they're made with fat-free yogurt and just fruit layers and nut layers with this yogurt. And everyone's assuming I've made some sort of custard or cream. I just buy a high-quality, delicious yogurt that has vanilla flavoring, or I add my natural vanilla in. And then we just layer it with beautiful fruits. And people love it. And it's delicious. I put them in fancy glasses. People like them. And I had a brother-in-law who absolutely hates yogurt, and he ate it up and took a second. He didn't know it was yogurt. It's so good. And yet, when you're thinking of it, it's so healthy, and it's so good for you. And you can limit, again, all the bad stuff without giving up taste, flavor, and fun, you know?
Right. Now, Joan, what exercise regime do you have?
Here's the simple thing. My daughter is a personal trainer now, and she says I have to sweat 3 times a week, at minimum 3 times a week. So exercise so that you sweat. It's not good enough that you just lift your arms 50 times. So I have a couple of little tips for people, because especially for women, I think we're self-conscious doing something.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Every time you go into the washroom to wash your hands, use the washroom, do 50 punches or do 50 stretches. It takes you 2 minutes, 3 minutes. That's it. But if you think of how many times a day you do that, you're keeping your flexibility up. That's the one thing about exercise choices, is that it's every day, all the time. At least 3 times a week, I sweat. So sometimes I take a 2-mile walk. I'll walk to the grocery store and walk back and carry. And when I'm carrying the groceries back, those are weight-bearing, and that's even better of a workout. And in my town, one of those ways is uphill. So I'm going downhill on the way to the grocery store and uphill on the way back. So when I come back, I've got some good sweat exercise in. Once a week, I meet with my daughter's classes, or you can do this yourself, is you just get some exercises. In my case, I worry about my abdomen. That's where I'm looking at that waist circumference. I want to keep my waist to a certain level, because there's been a lot of research about abdominal fat and increased heart attack and risk of stroke. So I want to keep that waist. So that's where my exercises are focused on. So instead of just watching TV at night, I watch TV, but I'll flex, and maybe during a 2-minute commercial break, that's when I'll be doing my crunches and my curl-ups. And then when the commercial's over, you can actually, every time a commercial comes on is when my crunches happen. So it becomes at least 3 or 4 times a week I do that. In the winter, sometimes here in Canada, it gets pretty cold to go outside and do the walking. So that's when I walk up and down my stairs.
Mm-hmm.
And you can actually take your cardio, take your heartbeat, and make sure you get it up to a certain level and get up there for 15 minutes working with the stairs and that kind of thing. So I make sure my cardio is up at least 3-4 times a week to my target level and keep it up there 15 minutes or more. And the other thing is taking stairs instead of elevators, escalators, all of that kind of thing. Your shopping malls are a great place to exercise if you don't take the escalators and the elevators, and you just walk and do your walking. So there's those options as well. So always looking for options. Park the car, take a bike, or park the car and walk along that parkway. We have a beautiful parkway here in Niagara, and we've driven it millions of times, I'm sure, since I was a little girl. Now we park the car and walk it. And it's glorious. I'm seeing things that I never noticed for years and meeting lovely people. So those are the exercise choices. Not huge, but they've built up till, like I said, I've lost whatever number of sizes, and about 15 to 17 pounds just in the last year and a half. So, and it's not, I don't feel deprived. I don't feel like I've given up anything. All of these things have, added to my life. And a couple of neighbors needed walking buddies. So, and one of them has, medical health needs in her family. So she's very, very stressed. Well, rather than sitting and having coffee with her, I said, let's go for a walk and talk. So I become her safe ear where she can vent her frustrations, but we're walking at the same time.
Joan, would you tell us about the chapter and the title of the book that you're involved with, and also your services? And if you have a website.
My most recent collaboration with this book was called Discover Your Inner Strength. And I'm so fortunate. Some of the co-authors are Brian Tracy, Ken Blanchard, and Dr. Stephen Covey. So really, really some good chapters in there, not just my chapter. But my chapter I'm very excited about is called Are You Alert, Awake, and Alive? And it talks about 5 success strategies, secrets, if you will, on how people can immediately start using these strategies to, for example, reclaim their health or reclaim their attitudes so that they can perform better, live better, and define success in their own way and claim it, still work. And I think that's really important. And you certainly can go on my website, which is www.coreperformancegroup.com, or you can go use my name to access that website, which is www.joangrobaugustino.com, and that's spelled joangrobaugustino.com. So it's just my name.com or the coreperformancegroup.com.
Well, thank you very much, Joan. I appreciate this, and I know it'll be helpful.
Well, thank you so much. It's been a delight.
Thank you. I thank you for joining me today on the Holistic Health Show. I am Dr. Carl O'Helvey, your host, wishing you a great week.